You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we're coming to you live from a couple places on the internet. We're live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Instagram. Maybe you're listening later, wherever you get your podcasts. It is all good. Very excited to be here on this lovely Tuesday evening.
Oh, wow. Spring is in the air, and I won't regret saying that at all.
Tomorrow. We always like to open up our comic book talk show with a little talk about the weather. Just, you know.
Yeah, we're getting old.
Okay, that's where I was going with it. But lots to talk about on the show, but I don't want to waste any more time here because we have a great guest for you. She's the author of Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers, Declassified, Notes, Interviews, and Files from the Avengers Archives. Ladies and gentlemen, Kelly Fitzpatrick.
Hello. I'm happy to be here.
Oh my gosh, to have you here. Excited to talk about this book. This is a very cool, very unique project that came out on March 4th, I want to say. But first, I want to kick it over to Pete because I'm sure he's going to have some questions about your wall behind
you. Nerdy background, I love it. What do you want to show off? What do you want to tell us about? That looks amazing back there.
Oh gosh, so I have been very lucky to be a tie-in writer for the Star Trek Adventures role-playing game from Odysseus
for many years.
And so I have my favorite book that I contributed to, the Shackleton Expanse campaign guide back here.
Wow.
Where there was several of us who were lead writers on the project, and we each got to create a new species for Star Trek and a planet with technology and ships and just like a playground for gamers. So it was very fun.
Yeah.
Totally derail what we're supposed to be talking about, but where do you start when you're creating a species and a planet in the Star Trek universe? I feel like that's
just overwhelming. You start planet first, then species, or you go species first? How does that go?
I went species first. I just thought about what would I think is very cool to encounter, in a Star Trek context. And I have my minor is philosophy, and so I deal a lot with philosophy of mind, and so I created these crystalline beings who can kind of see into the future, and they can kind of meld into a ship. And our line manager, Jim Johnson, encouraged us, like, the sky's the limit. You know, we're not limited by like a production budget when you're making a game book. So
in other words, get weird.
Yeah. You can do non-humanoid stuff. Like just go crazy. Nice. And so it was a blast.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, one of the things that I first think of when I think about Star Trek races is for the most part, like, oh, they have like a little nose ridge, or, oh, something's wrong with their forehead a little bit, because that's all we did with the makeup. But you could do anything. You could think of anything in this context. So that's very cool. That said, though, given that is what the majority of the franchise was for so long, obviously it's different now with CGI and the way that they're tackling the shows. Did you try to pull yourself back at all? or no?
Well, there's a level of, like, a player has to feel comfortable representing this character. Like, they have to feel comfortable inhabiting the character. And so there needed to be some touchstones of, like, art and culture and things that I felt like you want to feel like you can integrate this character into a crew, right, who's doing an adventure. But aside from that, appearance and abilities and stuff, we really did try to kind of push the envelope on that.
Awesome.
Cool.
Well, wow. Let's transition this from Star Trek to Captain Marvel. You have, as you mentioned, or at least we touched on, you've done other Star Trek things before, but how did that transition over to this Marvel Universe project? How did you snag that?
Yeah, so the way the tie-in writing world works is you kind of break in and then you start establishing yourself by working with these companies and these IPs. And I was very lucky to break in on Star Trek through the Strange New World short story contest in 2016. Oh. CBS revived that for the 50th anniversary of Star Trek. And so I wrote a short story about Next Generation, Beverly Crusher, and sent it off. And I won. I was one of the winners of the contest. And so
that's
that
awesome.
Sort of that pulled me into, you know, Star Trek tie-in writing, because then you get to meet all the other folks who are doing it, and people see your name and they read your stuff and they like it. And so they offer you other projects and things. And so that kind of, you know, snowballs. And I was actively working on, furthering my career as an author and publications and other sci-fi venues as well. But then Ben Bella, the publisher of the Captain Marvel book, was doing this declassified series, and they had already done Iron Man, Captain America, and Black Panther, and then they knew they wanted to do Captain Marvel, and so I think they reached out to folks that they knew of, like, who do we know who's a tie-in writer who is a huge fan of Captain Marvel who might be a good fit for this? And my name came up, and so I was contacted and offered the contract. Heck yes. Sorry, Carol Danvers.
That's now, when so you're awesome. Tackling yeah. Carol, sorry, Carol Danvers, like a wide, varied, I don't want to use the word messy, but definitely like all over the place history. Like, are you trying to like unify that? Are you like, how does this all come together?
Yeah, so this was one of the challenges and joys of this project, is that Carol's character has been around since 1968 in the comics, and she's had her own title series since 1977. And so there is a gargantuan amount of information about her that is out there. In recent decades, she has become Captain Marvel and has become an extremely powerful character. And so she also gets pulled in to every time there's like a galactic scale battle or threat, you know, Captain Marvel is part of that. And I would say that her history is punctuated by a whole bunch of different careers that she has stepped into. And it almost feels like different lives that she has lived. And so one of the challenges was, how do I, as the author here, unite all of these to make them feel like they are one lifetime lived by one woman, while giving each of them their own sort of due attention and appreciation? So this book is really meant to be a full chronicle of her life from the entire comics canon. And so it involved a lot of research. But my sort of task was find the through line. What ties her life together? What makes her a coherent person across time? Which was a challenge that I really enjoyed, really loved. And I appreciated that Marvel sort of trusted me to come up with that and to, you know, pitch that to them, which was a joy.
Not to ruin the conclusion of the book or anything, but what was that then? I mean, what do you think is the core of Carol's character?
Yeah, I think it is her competence and her willingness to always come back and protect the things that she loves. And so I thought of it as identity was kind of the theme that runs through this. There's also the bonus that she engages with several identity-related thematic crises throughout her life. You know, she loses her memories. They're stolen from her by Rogue. She has to kind of reinvent herself as different superheroes several times. She discovers that her DNA and her racial background is not what she thought it was. And so figuring out like who is not just who is Captain Marvel, but who is Carol Danvers was kind of the theme there. But it really does come back to like her resilience and her competence. She just keeps getting back up no matter how many times she has to face things, face them again and again. She just keeps going.
Not to get too wonky, but I do want to get too wonky just because I'm really curious. When you're researching this much material, this many decades of material, how do you tackle it? Do you just have multiple notebooks? Do you have spreadsheets? How do you actually organize all this information?
Yeah, so this was essential for me to figure out really quickly because there's just so much information, and I quickly realized there were like key moments in her history that I was going to have to keep coming back to. And so I needed really good notes that were also very searchable. So I use Google Drive and Google Docs for a lot of my writing projects. And so I just came up with a system where each comic series got its own Google Doc. And then I had an entry for each issue, and I put bullet points on the events. And I also was pulling images. So part of the cool part about this book is that it's not just a regular novel. It has a ton of graphical elements and media pieces that I was able to write. So there are newspaper articles, there are diary entries, there are Avengers files and S.H.I.E.L.D. profiles and, you know, schematics and all this stuff. And the vast majority of the actual pictures that are in the book were pulled from the comics. And so I had to track all of that and then cite all of that. So everything in my first draft had to be cited, for Marvel to go back through. So it really felt like a dissertation.
I was going to say, that's heavy homework.
Yeah, that is so much work. That's amazing.
But you also, at the same time, for anybody who's curious about reading the book, you also have a framing device there that gives it, it's not just like, here's a raw history of everything that happens in order. There is a story there as well. So what do you want to say about that?
Yeah, absolutely. This is another thing I really appreciated that Marvel gave me the opportunity to kind of come up with this. So each of the declassified books have some sort of framing device. The thing that ties them all together is that there is a group of files on this Avenger who that have recently been declassified for some reason. And then there's also a reason why either the hero is telling their story or someone is kind of piecing together their story. And so for Carol, because in her first title series, the 1977 Miss Marvel, she's a magazine editor at Woman Magazine working for Jonah Jameson, I really wanted to kind of highlight that history of her as a wordsmith and as an editor and her journalism background. And so I thought, what if Jonah wants to revive and do a special anniversary of this magazine? But of course, he's going to hire one of Carol's nemeses to go get the story. Because I also knew that Carol is, she's known in the comics for not liking interviews. But she also is very confident in the way that she portrays herself and in the way that she talks. And so I wanted a character as an interviewer who could kind of wrong foot her and who could push her and kind of make her have to think really deeply about the reasons why she felt about certain things or whatever. So that's why I chose the framing device of we're doing like a story for a magazine. And oh, by the way, Ripley Ryan, a.k.a. Star, is going to be the one who's interviewing you. And they have a very complicated history in the comments.
Yeah. We got a question here from the comments over on YouTube. Now, normally our CBC chef, Stray Bullet, designs a cocktail for us. This week he didn't because he's laid up on the couch sick after cooking for people down in Mardi Gras. But he had a drink-related question here. I have a question for the pastry on Discord. Stray Bullet says, would Carol prefer whiskey, bourbon, or tequila?
So I think canonically it's whiskey, if I remember correctly. So Carol has a complicated history with alcohol. and so I think in the present day, she would prefer a Coke or an iced tea. But I think there's the times when she is shown drinking, I believe it's whiskey.
All right. Yes. While you were doing this research, you obviously went through a lot of different periods. I want to ask like a two-part question here. First, what made you first fall in love with Captain Marvel? And what did you fall in love with or did you find most surprising while you were researching the book?
Yes. Okay. So I have always loved outer space. stargazing, learning about the universe and its many vast arrays of things that are out there. I've had the honor of getting to do some science writing for NASA. I got to work on that for a little bit. And I just love learning about space. And so Carol is the cosmic Avenger. She can literally fly through space. She was binary for a while. She had the power of a white hole and carried the power of a star within her. And I've just always loved this image of her just kind of being a space traveler. And so that's one of the reasons why I fell in love with her. But I also just fell in love with how strong and confident and resilient she is. I think she's a really great example of a strong female character who is physically strong, but also just really inspiring in a lot of ways. And along those lines, one of the things that surprised me, but also delighted me, was her time in the Starjammers. So she turns space pirate for a while and is a member of this crew, and it is absolutely awesome. I had not previously encountered that part of her story.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, you're sort of the foremost Carol Danvers expert, at least on this podcast right now. Where could you see her going, just from like a biographer's point of view, to take it all the way into the fictional world? What would be her next move, or what would you want her to do as a character?
Oh, gosh, from where she is right now? I think I would want to see her get involved with advocacy in some way. So she has been a part of a lot of different teams. She's been on the Avengers, led the Avengers, you know, multiple times, part of the X-Men, part of the Starjammers, led the Ultimates, was head of Alpha Flight Station, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But she also has found herself sort of maybe doing some questionable things and maybe just kind of towing the line of authority. And I'd love to see her kind of go back and interrogate that part of her past and then maybe get involved with not just protecting the world as it is, but building a better world for a lot of people.
That's awesome. That reminds me of Captain America for a time, sort of became nomad and sort of had to rediscover America and got involved in different things. And Carol Danvers feels like she could do that, follow that same path.
Yep.
To cross over your two things and talk total fantasy, if Carol Danvers got sucked into the Star Trek universe, who would you want her to meet? I have some ideas, but I'm curious about you.
Who would I want her to meet? Okay. Yeah. My first immediate answer is Q.
They
are both so powerful and so sarcastic, and they would just absolutely go crazy. They would probably rip a hole in space-time, so maybe that's not a good idea. But it would be a heck of an episode. In addition to that, I mean, Captain Janeway is one of my favorite characters, and I'm inspired by these two people for similar reasons, and so I would also love to see them like collaborate on some initiative where, you know, Janeway has to go to deep space and Carol is going to support the mission in some way. Cool. That would be amazing.
Yeah. Now that you have tackled this, obviously your love for Carol Danvers is coming through 100%, but is there another character that you might be interested in tackling in a similar way?
Yeah, I love most of the women of Marvel, and so I would love to get a chance to write Scarlet Witch.
She's
just got a fantastic background, and her powers are fascinating, and the way that like her relationship to reality and stuff is really just great. Black Widow, similarly, I would love to write that character. I've always loved Vision as a character, because AI perspectives and minds are kind of one of my niche areas of interest. So, those characters would probably be near the top of my list.
Let's bring it back a little bit, but talking about the continuity of the Marvel Universe, full disclosure, we're huge comic book fans, obviously. But
huge.
It doesn't make sense, you know, like just over the long enough timeline. Do you think, I mean, now that you have tried to put it in order or successfully put it in order, do you find a continuity there, or is it really just sort of all over the place?
No, there's definitely a continuity. There's just, you have to go in with the expectation that there's a little bit of a sliding scale as far as which historical moment things are actually in. So if you read the book, you're going to have the story of a person who had a childhood and who had an early career and who is now established and has gone from thing to thing. And there's definitely like this happened before this, before this, before this, right? And there's also continuity of which events were concurrent within the Marvel timeline, or at least to some degree. So the only thing that gets a little sticky is when you're like, what year was this happening?
Yeah.
You know, because there are events that are happening in some of the comics where you're like, I'm pretty sure I can identify that, you know, or it outright states what it is. You know, so that part of it we de-emphasized, because that's not really the point. The point is that Carol is a timeless character and she has engaged in these things that speak to people regardless of sort of what years things are happening.
Yeah. I've got a question here in the YouTube comments from somebody who is kind of key to the reinvention of Carol Danvers. Kelly Sue DeConnick says, would Kelly do another Declassified?
Absolutely. Also, Kelly, I'm a huge fan of your work.
That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I would do another Declassified in a heartbeat. I would do just about anything that Marvel.
Do you think you have enough Google Doc storage space to do it?
Absolutely.
That's the main question.
Absolutely. Yes, Kelly, I'm honored by your presence and your question.
Yes. Yeah, she's been commenting all along very nicely. There you go. What else, before we start to wrap up here, what else would you like to plug? Obviously, you talked about the Star Trek book. People should be picking up the Declassified book. Anything else folks should be checking out?
Yeah, so I recently
I'm going to interrupt just with this comment before you have it because you like it. Kelly Sue DeConnick says, I'm a huge fan, Kelly. I concur with your take a million times.
Ah, that's awesome.
Thank you so much. Oh, this is so lovely and heartwarming. There was actually a comment made in the in my first call with Marvel. They said, you get to join the long line of Kellys who have written a character. And I was so honored to take
the great Kelly lineage.
Yes.
From Kelly to Kelly through time.
Yeah. And Kelly Thompson, right? She wrote?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Hilarious.
Awesome.
Yes. So, okay. So other things that are going on. So recently had this book come out. This is from Bain. This is Last Train out of Kepler 283C. And this is space Western stories. And so I have a short story in this book that I'm very proud of. It involves an AI tractor.
Huge threat to my personal life.
I know, right? So that was very fun. And I'm currently, I have a short story in an anthology called Twisting, Turning, Time Shifts. I think it's currently in Kickstarter, and it's an alternate history anthology that's looking at how the rights or status of women would be different if one event in history was changed.
Ooh.
So I'm writing about astronomer Henrietta Swan Leavitt, who helped discover the things that allow us to compute distances in the galaxy and in the universe, and changing to give her the credit she deserves for her discoveries.
Awesome. Cool. That is so cool. Kelly, congratulations on this book. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you so much
good.
For coming on.
Yeah,
and
so
looking forward
to
you getting a little break from the crazy research, but hopefully you're back on it sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. It has been a pleasure to be here. Thank you all for having me.
All right.
Great
Have
talking
a good night.
To you, Kelly.
Thanks.
Later.
Bye. All right, there we go. Oh, again, wow. The book is called Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers Declassified Notes, Interviews, and Files from the Avengers Archives. It is out now from Smart Pop and Marvel on bookstore stands everywhere. So check it out.
So cool. Love the framing device. I didn't get to ask it, but like the character of Star has really risen. What is a rising star?
The star is rising.
Yeah, we got it. Yeah. Yeah. Nice work.
Yeah. Do you want to sit on that moment for a second, Pete?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Pete, Pete already is really sitting. I didn't mean to. I didn't say that just for the pun. I mean it as a real thing.
Okay, sure, man. That really came off that way.
Wow, Pete, you've been in this. You're surrounded by too many comic books. You need a breather.
Yeah.
The weight is under your. It's bearing down on you.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Pick up the book. It is available everywhere. And we are going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you all make it up. It is your audience questions. And for audience questions, all you got to do is drop a question in the comments over on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Maybe Instagram. We'll see what happens, I guess.
Always a question mark.
But first, what are you guys drinking tonight? What's going on?
Ooh, great call.
I'm going with longboard. Longboard.
Oh, great! How many longboards do you get? Just so I know how many weeks we're in for.
How long do you have to put up with this? Is that what you're saying?
No. It's fine. It's fine. Just the garage beer thing went on for months at that point. So.
Yeah, sure. I was getting them for a pretty good price. So yeah, I got a 6-pack of these. So you only got to do it a couple more times.
Wow, look at Pete's shopping techniques. Take us on the live video to would love to see you clipping coupons. I was drinking a tequila and grapefruit juice.
A
little sour boy that I am, you know I'm
grapefruit juice is the worst, bro.
Oh, the best. I love it.
No way. You're one of those people who just eats a grapefruit with a spoon? Just
I would do it every morning if I had a tree.
Yeah, do you put a little jam on it in the middle?
I don't want that sugar. Get that out of here.
All right.
I stay so fun because I eat so bitter.
Do you know what I like to do? I like to take the grapefruit, scoop out all the grapefruit stuff, put some Sour Patch Kids in there, and go to town.
Yeah, I mean, you say that as a joke, Alex? I know that's a true wish of yours. I know if you could eat candy versions of all food, you would. You 100% would.
I absolutely would.
I've never met more of a candy freak until I met Pete LePage.
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much.
You guys are the littlest big boys in the world right here.
All right, we got a question here from Schoikler says, what are your favorite characters from Trek? Also, I'd like to take Pete's secret quiz.
Ooh, okay.
Here.
I got to go with Spock. You know what I mean?
All right.
Spock, old school.
Why? And which Spock? Zachary Quinto? Leonard Nimoy?
Leonard Nimoy, I like how the smartest person in the room had respect for people. It's not always that way, Cornell. Sometimes people think they're better than others, so I like
Pete
that approach.
Officially on one tonight. I mean, I'm a huge Next Generation guy. I've seen, I get stuck in JAGs where when I find them on like a weird TV network, I'll just watch them for weeks at a time. So, I mean, at different phases, different times, I'm into different characters. So I got to go Riker fan,
okay.
Data for the fun. But I mean, Picard is sort of he's the most symbolic of what Star Trek has come to mean, at least for me.
Yeah, I also really started with Next Gen. Probably Data is the one that I always really enjoyed, but. Just recently from the comics, I've really been liking Benjamin Sisko. Like, just good character. Interesting.
I mean,
and weird.
Great character. I feel like Sisko in the comics is this whole other animal that they've made him into, which is cool. I feel like, especially in the early season of Deep Space Nine, he's like a what should we do kind of guy. But yeah.
Yep. All right. So for the second part, what is the password, please? For the secret quiz.
Oh, okay. I love how you're talking to him, if he can respond directly to you. Yep. What, for anybody who's listening, Schoikler specifically needs to give a password to take the secret quiz. It needs to be specifically worded. He says, Bruce and Gordon? Is that what it is?
Yes!
Really?
Wow! Oh, my God!
Wow.
He's made it to the next round.
Oh, my God. God. All right. So here's the other thing. Let me check if I got this right. So they needed to say.
Do we have time for this kind of thing?
Needed to say, can I do the secret quiz? You needed to say Bruce and Gordon, which you're going to have to explain in a second. And now he's going to have to answer subsequent questions correctly. And there might be several secret parts based on previous experience with your quiz, right?
Well, it's very funny that it's Bruce, the first name of Batman, and Gordon, the last name of Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah, fun how that is, right?
Oh, is that what it is?
How would he know to say that?
I don't know, because what I'm talking about is if you look up on my thing over here, you've got Bruce Lee next to Gordon Parks. You see what I did there? Oh, yeah! Come on! That's fun stuff.
Wow. You truly are.
I've got a lot of free
psychopath.
Time.
Yes, I am.
All right. So now Schuykler is going to answer some trivia questions, right, in the comments here?
Yes.
Or perhaps physical challenges.
Yeah, exactly. We don't know how this is all going. I'm working with a lot of
my God, look, it's like
pieces of paper here, so I got to figure out. Well, okay, Peter here's the Gordon Parks.
Finally
okay.
called out on the ravings of a madman. You have to show your napkins and weird shit that you wrote these quiz questions down.
Okay. Okay, the next question. I had first to find question. The right. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true.
Wait, first they're question. Really written down on napkins? What?
No, there's different pieces of paper. It's insane.
You ever feel like your brains are dripping into a maze, like a vertical maze? Because that's what I feel like right now.
Oh, wow. I think I've seen that in the Batman. That was the where it was the Court of Owls where he went insane and got stuck in that maze.
I just wish I could have a flash of this moment from when I first met you both and decided to do this show together. That would be
flash
absolutely
19
crazy.
19 years to this moment. Okay. Schuykler, guess the number of skulls that I can see from my seat. And yes, Punisher skulls.
No! 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 I'm shutting down. The secret this quiz. Is not trivia. This is not a secret quiz. This is
me a secret
like,
quiz.
How many pillows are on my couch right now? Guess, Pete.
Pete, you've
you
gone
can,
too
here,
far.
I'll tell you what. I've gone if too you far. Can guess, if you can
in the
guess,
Punisher shrine, how many... Oh, he said nine.
Wow.
Nine skulls? You don't see nine skulls from where you are?
Yeah, I don't want to give any more away, but it's
okay, but here's what I'm going to say, is if you can guess the number of pillows that are on my couch that I can see right now, you can keep doing this quiz. Otherwise,
you're in the
stop.
You're in a basement. There shouldn't be any pillows. You're
what
not in your room.
He got you there.
Oh, yeah.
You can't have pillows
on my bed. Your bed's upstairs. Your bed is
upstairs. Pillows not downstairs. Okay, I'm not doing this anymore.
It's like if Sherlock Holmes was sort of an asshole.
Well, you guessed wrong. There are, in fact, many pillows. I'm not going to tell you how many. You'll have to unlock that when you unlock my secret pillow quiz.
That's right.
Straight Bullet says, is it more or less than nine? I would say less. If this is the same Punisher shrine,
oh,
it's
his
more than nine?
Yes.
That's insane.
I'm sorry. You're
I
upstairs,
can show
right?
I can
upstairs.
Turn the camera
crypts,
and show you how
crypts
many.
Crypts are not upstairs. They're downstairs, Pete.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And crypts are where skulls are. Okay. All right. Elf of the Game says, you guys White Lotus fans? Easy question. Yes.
Yes. In. All in. Interesting.
Only for Natasha, and that's it.
That's a crazy take. The way that this season has an extra episode, right? I feel it a little bit in the way the time is being used in this season. A lot of shots of – I feel like I know the monkey on the tree branch outside of the girls' rooms really well at this point.
Yeah, I mean it's really good. I think I said this on the Patreon podcast, but I've seen the first six of them, and at the end, halfway through six, I'm like – man, there's a lot of stuff to wrap up, but okay, they're going to wrap it up. But oh, no. Oh, there's like three more episodes.
Yeah, it's nine, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay, here we go. Which definitely makes more sense, but it definitely is like, condense a little bit, buddy.
And not to talk about TV in general, but it feels crazy that TV works this way where they're like, oh, let's take our time. Like what a kid would do. It's like a Tom Sawyer short story where he's like, we don't need to rush. We got all the time in the world. Oh, no, we only have two more episodes. Tell all the story now. I feel like Severance is doing that so much this season. And like, it's just crazy.
Frederico Rosa says, how do you guys organize your takes when talking about something you know what's happening next, something like Invincible or Born Again?
That's a great question. Tell me, how about you tell us how we organize our takes? Because I would say nope. I would say not organized. Nope.
I was actually talking to my wife about this the other day because there are plenty of things where there's like two sides to this question, right? So there are plenty of things where I've seen ahead where we're doing the podcast, but I think it is a better show if I'm presenting it in the way where we're talking about the episode right now, rather than being like, I'll never tell about what's happening because that's annoying. So yeah. I have trained my brain to remember the theories and things that I was thinking during the episode while I was watching them. What? So if I have seen ahead, I'm talking about it from the perspective of that episode and no episodes after that. The opposite end.
Well, that's a specific problem for just you.
Yes, that's a specific problem for just me. In terms of the other thing, I think like it's talking about the episode itself, right? Like if you're talking about Invincible, we know a lot of the storylines in Invincible. We certainly drop on that podcast like, yeah, we know what this is going to happen. There's going to be a big twist, but we don't want to talk about that. We want to talk about the hour of TV that we're watching at the current moment. So it actually is kind of tied together. It's about talking about the thing that you are talking about rather than everything else around it, for the most part. I see. Mm.
That's good.
That's for me, Alex, you shouldn't watch it. It's how I make my money, as limited as it is.
I agree with that comment.
Okay, you know what? When my kids are like, why can't we eat today, Papa? I'll be like, Pete got upset because I watched a little ahead on some TV shows and I can't do that anymore.
And then you explain to your kids about what cheating is. And how
I'll be like, cheating.
That's not cheating.
He's going ahead of everybody else. You got to watch along with the people.
Write about it.
Pete, you've already compromised yourself with the insane quiz you just had. I don't. Just careful. I would say, talk about.
Sorry, kids. We only have the leftover grapefruit shells from Uncle Justin.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of nutrition in the grapefruit squeezes at the end of that. But let me say, as far as organizing takes, when I'm watching something, I really do try to think. Like I go A to C with what I'm watching with it. We're like, oh, that's interesting. What is that for? What is that like? Why do they arrive here? And try to bring that to my observation and notes when I'm taking it. But honestly, like a lot of, I think, our conversations that are the most interesting are us sort of bouncing off each other and responding in the moment. One of the values of this show to, I guess, all three of us is that we are constantly talking throughout the week. And I think that makes us really good at being like, what if this is what's happening?
All right. Hartford 1988 over on Twitch says, question for Pete. If you could only watch Michael Bay's Transformers or Michael Bay's TMNT and no, death is not an option.
I got to go. TMNT was easier on my childhood than Transformers.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry. I mean, that is a Michael
Bay.
Sorry, I was
typing up my thank you to Kelly Sue DeConnick, who's still watching. I can't believe she stayed past the insanity of the super quiz. I was like, I can't believe she's
honestly
here for this.
I can't believe I stayed, to be frank. So,
oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Eric MCI900 says, has Justin fallen on hard times at his own house and now has he moved back home to his own basement?
Hell yeah. Now I just got to get my mom to move in upstairs and I will fulfill the dream of living in my mom's basement. No, I'm trying to, my kids are upstairs trying to chill with that down here, but it's actually much louder down here.
Yeah, so, it's almost like I can hear them jumping on the microphone. You know what
I think they're coming through the floor into the ceiling.
Oh, cool.
But if you all remember, fans may remember, all pandemic, I was in this basement podcasting my
life. Still got those shears, those giant shears?
They are over there in my other little area.
Don't get them. They're scary.
Do you still have that giant poster of Volcano Joe?
Joe versus Volcano?
Yeah.
Of course. I have it all.
Stanley says, what comics are you most looking forward to this year?
Ooh,
I will
question.
Throw out that the number one comic coming up that I'm really looking forward to is Absolute Martian Manhunter number one.
That was going to be one of my answers.
Yeah,
sure.
From Dennis Capp and Javier Rodriguez. Everything that everybody has said about that book is just through the roof. This is going to reinvent the comic book form. And frankly, even if it was just Dennis Cab, who is on a roll right now, and Javier Rodriguez, who is like impeccable with the art, I would be into it. But yeah, that's all.
Here you are. Here you are taking my camp, something I've definitely put my flag in. I want to shout out another comic coming up very soon. I believe this week in the camp, Assorted Crisis Events. Very much looking forward to that.
Ace, bro. Yeah. Ace number one, bro.
Yeah, I got to give it up though for Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees, Rite of Spring, coming up from our guy. Another one that we talked about and read the first issue, or maybe first two issues, Bug Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When we talked to Jason Aaron and Mahmood about that, that was a wild conversation with just how much world they have fleshed out underneath that comic series. So very excited about it for that. And one other one, does the Jeff Lemire memoir come out?
Yeah, I think that's coming out later this year.
I would shout that out as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cool. Good calls. Oh, Pete, you got something?
I would just say that the James Robinson Hotel story, what is that called?
Welcome to the Maynard.
Yeah, I've been really loving that. Anything Tim Seeley does or Greg Pak does, and, you know, there's a lot. I don't read all the news as much since I'm not going to a comic book store as much as I used to. So
you mean the world news?
No, I'm talking about the comic book news. I don't get my newsletter, you know.
Oh, you're talking about the newsprint thing.
Yeah.
That
used to keep me abreast to what was happening.
You know, you could check out, there's a daily news podcast I've been really liking.
You lost me at daily news podcast.
I don't know if
Comic
be...
Book Club News. You should check it out in podcast feeds everywhere.
Dude's got an annoying voice. You know what I mean? It's just like...
Really nasally?
Yeah.
Drill it into your head?
You ever, like, when it starts, like, oh, has this guy got a cold? Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Somebody asked really me that the other day.
And yeah, I know. Like, that's what I'm... It's a callback to that.
I think Comic Book Club News is actually a great source. I like when you do the solicits down the line, because that does really feel like comic shop news.
There you go. That's what I'm aiming for.
Well, that's what I need in my life. It's too bad I don't have anything like that.
I mean, but it's Monday through Friday. If only we had talked to them about it. Right, Pete?
If only I had talked to me about it.
Oh, man.
Wait, a couple more that I thought about while we were talking. Really looking forward to the Bat Fraction Jorge Jimenez Batman.
You already got your turn. You can't go back again.
I'm sorry that I'm mentioning more comic books I'm looking forward to on our comic book talk show. That's cool, just because Bat Fraction back on a regular comic is very neat and exciting. Yeah. And also, I'm very curious about the DC Marvel crossovers that are coming later this year.
Oh, great call. Yeah.
You can't claim your time back and like keep naming more stuff. You know what I mean?
Like, Pete, just real quick, your answer to this question was, I wish I knew the news. So just
so there you go.
Let Alex have your time, for God's sakes.
I should listen, because you'll might mention something I'd be excited about.
Maybe. I would hate to think we start listening to each other at this point. This far into the podcast.
You can't break the chemistry.
The Big says, upon watching season 3 of Daredevil, I came to a shocking realization, and I'd like your thoughts. So Foggy and the Penguin are brothers? Is this because his family works at a deli? Is that what's going on?
No, his family was murdered. Wait.
I don't know. I will say that I got like rewatching the first 3 seasons of the show. I don't think this is what the Big is going for, but I definitely got like serious vibes of, oh, I wonder when they were doing the Penguin, how much they talked about Daredevil, because there's a lot of like, it's not a one-to-one plot or anything, but there's a lot of like touch points throughout the 3 seasons of Daredevil that they also hit in similar ways in the Penguin. And I think they both stand as good shows, but it definitely struck me through that rewatch for sure.
That's interesting. I would be curious what the Big is talking about, because that sounds like a wild connection. But I didn't rewatch, season 3 before Born Again started. So I
don't know. The same actress played the mom, and the Big just commented. Thank you for clarifying that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's wild.
Oh, wow.
Huh. Well,
that's
congrats.
Amazing.
crazy. And she gave birth to both of them.
Yeah, I guess you can give birth across different platforms, you know, DC and Marvel, I guess.
Yeah,
you know.
Sure. The rights are different. Like, you get different residuals from the babies, but...
Are they really related if it's DC versus Marvel? I don't know.
Double your residual.
That's what I hope the DC versus Marvel crossover is. Penguin versus Foggy. That's what we all want. Frederica Rosa says, question for Pete, which first episode was more shocking, Born Again or Scott Pilgrim Takes Off?
Good
question. I gotta say, Born Again, it's still so raw.
That's recency bias.
Yeah, it just hurts. It just hurts so much. So yeah, I'm sorry. I'm a little, maybe once I'm past it, I can look at this more equally, but.
To tie it back to the previous conversation we have in terms of watching ahead, when we talked Born Again on our Marvel Vision podcast, you screamed at me for sitting here for 4 hours and not saying anything about what was coming up in the episode. And I think you came around to understanding I couldn't have said anything about that. You would have gotten mad at me for saying or indicating anything.
A warning.
But we are mere hours away from another episode of Daredevil Born Again, which I have seen. Do you want me to indicate anything to you, Pete?
Oh, my God. This is so stressful.
This is why I shouldn't have said something last time, because this whole time now you're enjoying it. You're just kind of like, I know things that you don't know.
To be fair, Pete, he was enjoying it the whole time.
It's just
you're aware of his enjoyment now.
Yeah.
And that's going to bother you.
Yeah.
Most
it's been
all.
Really that. Yeah. Just seeing the way he lit up for this is really bothering me.
Great. To think he knows that about all television, almost. I got to say, I think if I may answer the Pete question, the Scott Pilgrim Takes Off revelation was more surprising. Born Again, as soon as it happened, I was surprised, but I was like, oh, this is good, though. This makes sense from a story.
Yeah, but that's the difference. You know what I mean? There's our artistic choice, and if you agree with it, it's a fun thing. But when you're on the other side of that, you don't agree. It's fucking heartbreaking.
Well, I rewatched the first three seasons of Daredevil, and they kill Foggy in like every episode. It's crazy.
Stop it.
Yeah, I don't want to indicate too much, but
that's all I have.
They do bring him back at the beginning of this episode and then kill him again.
So. Just a couple of kicks.
But I don't want to spoil anything.
Stop enjoying this.
I agree with you on the Scott Pilgrim Takes Off thing, because Born Again, watching that, very shocked at the beginning of the episode, but Scott Pilgrim Takes Off after
you
watching that first.
You guys were like, yes.
at the end of Scott Pilgrim Takes Off after that first episode, I'm like, I need to take a little pause here. And literally, like, I had the screeners, they sent them out probably a month and a half before, and I took like 2-3 weeks before I was like, okay, I'm gonna watch the second episode now. I guess I feel very weird, but it was shocking. They really went for it. Michael Tillman says, I was chatting with Alex Sinclair and Andrew Barino this week at Emerald City Comic Con and mentioned my excitement for Hattush. They laughed and said there's plans for Hathreesh. Kind of. I don't know exactly what they're going to call it, but the issues that are going to be released, starting with Batman 158, Pete, this is the news you were asking for earlier, by Jeff Loeb and Jim Lee. Those are 6 issues. And then after that, Matt Fraction and Jorge Jimenez are starting their run on Batman. The whole story that they have planned out is 12 issues, but very self-admittedly, Jim Lee is not the fastest penciler in the entire world. So they wanted to make sure that they had all 6 issues pretty much ready to go, or as close to ready to go as possible, before they started soliciting them and threw them in the middle of the run of Batman. So they have the 6 issues. There's going to be a pause for TBD, determined, amount of time. And then they're planning on coming back to do 6 more issues at some later point. Yes, Pete.
So you're saying Jim Lee might do 12 issues of penciling?
Yes.
Wow.
But I really wouldn't expect it anytime soon. Like, the fact that they are planning on getting these 6 issues out in time for Matt Fraction to start his run in September is wild in and of itself, and probably points to he has spent years working on it at this point. And that's not a slam. It's just like he always is delayed. It always takes him a while to do this stuff.
He's got a lot on his plate.
Yeah.
Guys,
he does.
Does great work. He's the king of San Diego, for Christ's sakes.
Exactly. Let's see. Matt says, what percentage of the time that Alex puts into Comic Book Club news goes into writing his sign-off joke? Great question.
Great question.
That's so the whole thing takes
Would you
about,
wait? Yes. Would you say it's as much to our opening bit? Would you say? Because we spend a lot of time, people don't know this, but going over like opening bit for every show. Like the three of us meet early, really kind of storyboard ideas. You know what I mean?
There is no opening bit, and there never was.
Great question, Nat. That's usually, I don't know, I'd say 5% of the time, something like that.
5%?
I think about it too much.
I was going to say, it's 5%, but it's still more than it should be, I guess.
Yeah.
It does usually really come round, I got to say.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it. Eric says, if you could make your own new Amalgam Comics character, who would it be?
Great question. Here, I was thinking about this just in light of the upcoming crossover. And in the past, Amalgam, it was like, how can we line up the characters and find the similarities and combine them? Makes sense, because we're always drawing connections between the two universes. I would go the other way, though. I want to line up different characters and put them in the spots. And I think I want a Bruce Wayne, ooh, who has to sort of become... Bat? Yeah, because that's wild to me. Because they had similar loss, so they have at least a touch point, but have gone in opposite directions with how they became, the person they became.
Huh. Yeah, like we kind of talked about when they announced the crossover, I could definitely see them amalgamating like Harley Quinn and Deadpool or something like that. But I hear what you're saying. I think that would be more fun and weirder and more interesting. Who's like, from the DC side, the only newish character?
I'd love
really
to see
stuck. Yeah,
Midnighter Hulk. You know what I mean? That would be a fun...
Wait, Midnighter becomes a Hulk, basically?
Yeah.
Okay, like Midnighter but larger?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, great.
But also it's got a great love story, because Hulk has had a heartbreaking couple of love stories, but Midnighter has a great love story, so it'd be nice to see, you know.
So it'd be like Big Nighter.
Okay. Oh, you kind of ruined it with that, but all right.
Well, he's mid. Right now he's mid, I think.
Don't call Midnighter mid, bro.
He's right? Mid.
Don't.
He's right there.
No.
He's mid. He's straight up middle.
How dare you? You're mid.
So mid. Large mid. He needs to be large. Large.
Isn't there some Paul in the DC universe right now that they could combine with Paul from Spider-Man? That would be fun.
Yeah, though. How can we find a place
multi-Paul?
For Paul?
Multi-Paul?
You want a multi-Paul situation?
For sure. Michael T on a similar topic says, who writes and who draws the Foggy versus Penguin comic? Probably they would, right?
Foggy and Penguin share responsibilities. Great collab. Yes.
Yeah.
The Loeb and Sale of the
And Stanley says, do you think Hush 2 will be good? That's the big question, huh?
Maybe.
Will they follow up on how good Hush 1 was?
Hush 1 was great.
Was it?
Maybe.
The first collected volume was great.
Here's the crazy thing. The first Hush was it had a great effect on comic books, I think. I feel like so many crossovers, or big events, I should say, in comic, and the big two are Hush now, or Hush adjacent. Where there's a loosely connected story and it's just big issues with reveals that happen a lot, which is different than telling a story, I think.
I agree, because there was a big Hush effect in DC. Like there was a big like Pizza Dog effect in Marvel, where it was like this Hawkeye effect that really kind of lasted. And a lot of people,
Here's what I think about Hush 2. This is nothing against Jeff Loeb, a guy that we have chatted with a ton. He's always been super, super nice and supportive of the show. But he's been doing a bunch of this stuff lately, sort of like playing the hits, and that's great and that's good. But I really, to be clear, this is not slabbing him. I think the real highlight here, the thing that I am excited for that I do think is going to be good, is having Jim Lee back on interior pencils more than anything. That's what I'm pretty psyched for. I know we just talked about that, but seeing him do 6 issues of a comic book, that should be cool and interesting. And not new, but certainly exciting. So there you go.
Alex, you don't want to highlight Kelly Sue's departure comment in here?
What did she say?
Was very sweet. She said, cheers, gentlemen. You're a goddamn delight, or 3 goddamn delights. All hail the grapefruit, and congrats to Kelly Fitz on an outstanding achievement.
Yeah. That's very nice of her.
The fits. Very nice.
She is great, too. And all of you are great, but unfortunately, we got to wrap up this section and move on to our next section, which is trivia. And
yeah, for that, let's get weirder.
No, please.
Yeah.
Not possible. Turn it over to Pete LePage.
Challenge accepted. This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of Midtown Comics online gift card, because if you had $25, you would want to go to a comic book shop. Am I right? Come on.
Come on.
We just need a first hand up or a hey, pick me, or somebody say donate it or whatever you want to do, you know?
Say donate it.
Donate it.
Schreckler, meanwhile, says, will they promote the comic with hashtags? Gosh, I hope so. They are introducing a character that's like Whisper or something like that.
Scotty Doo.
Scotty Doo got it first. Scotty Doo.
Scotty, what a do, bro. What a do, Scotty. All right.
All right, let's trivia. Do the do and make this happen.
All right, today's trivia is about the first ish of the Walking Dead comic and a small nod to the legend, Michelle Trachtenberg. R.I.P. Dawn Summers from Buffy. All right, here we go. Happened.
And thank you for bringing up a show she was not on. She would have really been honored. So go ahead.
Oh, cool. No problem, man. Do you want to just kick me in the nuts while I'm doing this, or you want to let me go?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it. Please listen to all three options before making your selection. Go. Question number one. Robert Kirkman's credits in the first issue are as follows. Creator, writer, and blank. Is it A, letter? B, Jesus, man. Those are some crazy initials. Or C, Nichols J. M. Cloutman.
Nice one.
Oh, thank you.
Nichols is his first name.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Scotty Doo, it is A, correct. Yes, he's Scotty also Doo. The letterer. Question number two, who is the only other person credited on the first ish as the penciler, inkler, and gray tones? Is it A, Tony Moore, B, I hate Bane too, Pat, but geez, C, Pat Kilbane?
Pat went over the line, you're saying. Yeah. Pat Kilbane.
Yeah, I think he got a little too far. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Pull it back. Was it
Scotty Doo is correct. Here we go. Last one, Scotty. Focus up. Question number three. A Kirkman signed and 9.8 graded first ish is going for how much on eBay currently? Is it A, 12,000? B, why is he pulling over in the middle of the race? C, Jacob Pitts.
I can't believe I'm asking this, but
yeah.
What kind of skulls are you counting in the shrine? Is it any sort of like a drawing, a physical skull?
No, it's all Punisher skulls.
Your own skull.
No. Yeah, there's a skull inside.
It's all Punisher skull symbols. Scotty Doo is correct. It is A.
Congratulations, Scotty Doo. You are getting $12,000. Is that what
no.
we're doing? Oh, good.
No, that was okay. The answer.
We don't have that kind of money. You are going to get $25 to Midtown Comics. Shoot us an email. We'll get that to you. And what is the secret Michelle Trachtenberg movie?
Oh, man. Schoikler and Rosa is correct with is the 2004 cameo-packed comedy Euro Trip.
I feel like you've used Euro Trip a bunch. It's a real nexus point for the Page
movie
universe.
Interesting that Schoikler... Miss Guzzi. Schoikler and Frederico brought it up, but
Scotty didn't know. Scotty knew.
Scotty knew
the whole time.
Scotty don't.
There we go.
Scotty knew. He did not. Pete, just to follow up on the Punisher Shrine. So this is a different Punisher Shrine than the one you used to have at the show.
It's a more upgraded Punisher Shrine, I would say.
So just to be clear then, there's no one who's ever seen this except for you.
Well, I've turned my camera around a couple of times, so I might have caught it a couple of times. We talked about it early on when I first moved into the space, and I think I might have shown it.
Hmm. Okay, I guess you're inviting someone to break into your home.
No.
All right, no, as not. We all know, new do comics are coming that. Out tomorrow.
I will. I can't get an invite, so I'm going to have to break in.
Yeah, you have to go up against these.
And Pete hasn't put in his security system yet. That is unrelated to what I was just saying. But what are you guys looking forward
you don't know
to?
That.
It's coming out. All right. Yeah. Two Twizzlers tied to your window. Don't count as a
Yeah. How are you going to get past that? You got to eat it. And then by the time you eat it, I found you.
I have a pretty strong belief that if you leave a Twizzler out, you, sir, will eat it before anyone has a chance.
Oh, I got to test the security system.
I got to test it. You constantly got to test it. Make sure it works.
Pete, what are you looking forward to that's coming out tomorrow?
I'm looking forward to Absolute Superman number 5. The Absolute Superman series has been so impressive so far. I love the pace, the action. And so I hope that continues in this next one.
Great. Justin, what about you?
We mentioned a guy earlier on, Maddie Fraction, who has a book out tomorrow from the world of Minor Threats. Welcome to Twilight number 1. Excited to check that out. I feel like the Minor Threats universe has really taken a lot of swings with their books, and this one seems big swing focused. So definitely looking forward to that. I mentioned this earlier, but Assorted Crisis Events number 1. The Dennis Camp is shouting in anticipation of this book. Can't wait to get into that. And last one, Batman Dark Patterns, which I think is, you know, the first three issues were an arc on its own, and now we have a new one starting. I'm beginning to realize this is sort of like the Batman art book, where it's like sort of weirder stories and adventures, mysteries that they are letting artists just tee off on. And Hayden Sherman is on this arc, so can't wait to see the art and see what happens.
Other than those that you guys mentioned, I'll give a shout out to All New Venom number 4. I'm not a Venom guy, but I'm having a lot of fun reading this book. So excited to see what they're going to do with tomorrow's issue. I also wanted to give a shout out to Babs number 6 from Ahoy Comics. Oof. Very fun. Yeah, fantasy comedy series from Garth Ennis and Jason Burroughs. The final issue is tomorrow, so excited to see how they wrap it up.
Oh, it's the final one?
It's the final one. Hopefully there's going to be more to come.
Bye-bye, Babs. See.
All of those are going to be in our Stack podcast that posts Wednesday, 9 a.m.
Oh, what are the chances?
In the Stack feed and the Comic Book Club feed, so check it out. And folks, that is it for this week's show. Woo-hoo. We want to thank Kelly Fitzpatrick for coming out to talk about Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers Declassified, which is in stores now. Next week, Kenny Porter and Maria Sinapo are going to be here to talk about Archie is Mr. Justice number 3. Also, as mentioned a couple of times, you can check out Comic Book Club News, our daily news podcast.
Sure, Pete, can.
I'll print it out for you in paper form.
Does oh, thanks. Yeah, send it to me in a newspaper, like the Wednesday Comics. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no problem. Happy to do it. Podvincible, our Invincible podcast, getting ready to wrap up this week, because you can check out recaps for the new season. Marvel Vision, our podcast where Foggy always dies, is also coming out weekly. Patreon.com/comicbookclub to support this show and all the shows we do. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple, Android, Spotify, or the app of your choice. ComicBookClubLive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, we'll see you at the Comic Book Club.
Good night, folks. I guess just guess random numbers for the Pete Stride from here on out.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great night.
Later.
Thank you.
It's dangerous.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.